And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. This is a fun one. We are breaking down the college football playoff semifinals. Alabama, Washington, Ohio State, Clemson, all against the spread. How we think the game is going to go. It's Robbie Calland. It is Tom Fernelli. It's myself. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure that you subscribe to the SEC on CBS podcast. We got a very special edition coming up with Ohio State legend Eddie George, Heisman Trophy winner and such. A lot of fun talk with him, so make sure you subscribe to get that and enjoy our college football playoff semifinal picks. Back here on the SEC on the CBS podcast, we've got some semifinals to pick. It is not our final picks cast of the season. We will circle back to again give a full analysis and breakdown of the national championship game, the college football playoff national championship game set for January 9th in Tampa. But gentlemen, Robbie Callen, Tom Fernelli, how we doing? How we feeling? How's bowl season treating everyone so far?
It's going. Our picks aren't going especially well, but it's going.
Is there any one
season is killing me?
Is there any one season? Not one season. Is there any one game where you can think of, at least from a picking perspective, where you like from the get go were like, "Oh wow, I was way off on that one."
Oh, where do I begin?
Yeah, that I need more time.
I mean, here's all you need to know, Chip. I am 8-18 against the spread so far this bowl season.
It's time to rally, though, with some get heavy on the CFP. That's what I'm pretty about.
Yeah, and it's not much better. I think I'm 10-16 straight up.
But you got Oklahoma State, and last night when the game started, I was still in Charlotte, hadn't hit the road yet from the Belk Bowl. Thrilling Belk Bowl, by the way. Incredible cover for Virginia Tech. Just really incredible cover for Virginia
Arkansas
Tech.
I had Arkansas plus 7.5. I was feeling so good!
But really quickly, Oklahoma State made it clear that they weren't going to lose that game.
Yeah, that wasn't that huge of a surprise to me.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You were the only one who had it.
Well, I mean, because it was just... Well, I was somewhat surprised by the blowout. It's just I figured once Jim Leavitt left that the defense might have a little extra trouble. What I did not expect was for the offense to struggle so badly.
Robbie, I did not expect our doors to get the doors blown off by NC State.
No, that was the one. I think that's the one I missed the most because I think we all talked on here. We were like... You know, when you go to Shreveport, a lot of it's who shows up. And we were talking about how Mason was going to have the boys ready, but they appeared to enjoy their Shreveport vacation too much.
Biggest shock for me.
What?
Baylor.
That's fair.
Yeah. We thought Baylor was going to be.
That was a team that I thought quit like 2 months ago. I guess like having 3 weeks off, they finally, you know, were like, hey, we got one game left. Let's try to win it.
We'll come to Jesus. Also, Wake Forest beating Temple by 12.
And, like, the first half beat them down, too.
Or eight, yeah.
They were running. Wake Forest was running the ball. Wake Forest hasn't had an offensive line for the better part of the last 2.5 seasons. And they were running the ball on Temple.
You don't get Wake's playbook before the game. You can't stop Wake. It's pretty simple.
That's what we learned.
Yeah.
What if WikiLeaks really did rob us of like an ACC title Wake Forest team? That's what I'm seeing from, that's what I saw from the bowl game. If more I learned like, anything.
More like Temple leaks on defense.
Oh! All right, guys, let's have some fun with these semifinals. We got to start with the elephant in the room, the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's a funny thing to pick Alabama, a team that was 9-3 against the spread and a double-digit favorite in every game but one. In the one game where Alabama was not a double-digit favorite, they were a touchdown favorite and won by 10. That was at LSU. So this team has been very, very good against the number. But this Washington team, a lot of time to prepare. All your Chris Peterson with time to prepare. Trickety-trick plays, you know, the Jake Browning factor, the fact that you do have deep threats on the outside. I kind of feel like there's three possible outcomes for this game. And first one is going to be that Washington does turn this into a thriller. So, Robbie, you are taking Washington against the spread. We picked this at 15.5. What kind of game are you expecting where Washington is able to stay just within that 15.5?
I am banking on, once again, as I did so many times this year and got burned, banking on Browning not tossing pick sixes. I was at that Florida game, and two of the interceptions, including the pick six that Appleby threw, were to open receivers that he just flat out missed. I mean, the pick six he threw 3 yards behind a receiver on a skinny post that probably would have gone for six, if not at least like 40 yards. Those are throws Browning makes. The second one was on a deep ball at the sideline that he just flat out underthrew, and Tony Brown won the jump ball. Those are throws I think Browning makes. And I just think he's going to take advantage of the opportunities in a way we haven't seen anyone do since Chad Kelly. He's the best quarterback they've faced since Chad Kelly. Because as we know, the SEC does not have quarterbacks in it.
No.
They just don't. There's no quarterbacks in the SEC right now outside of, well, there's Chad Kelly and Jalen Hurts.
Well, there were some sick JV quarterbacks that everyone's really excited about when they make jump
Eason
up to varsity.
Eason could be a player, but nobody this year that you go, man, they can really test somebody. And that was the problem. And Alabama's defense really, you know, they give you a couple of those shots downfield, and they expect your quarterback not to be able to take you to advantage of five of those opportunities. I don't think Washington wins. I think I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 2-touchdown win, but at 15.5, I think Washington can keep this just close enough. I think Washington's defense is good enough to get a couple turnovers. Look, Alabama's turned the ball over two or more times in seven games this season. Washington's the best team at turning opponents over. That seems like a recipe to keep this game kind of close. I do think Alabama eventually will wear them down in the run game. I do think Alabama's pressure will get to Browning, because I do have concerns about how long that Washington offensive line can hold up against the Alabama front four. But I think Washington gets out to an early lead, a la Florida, but maybe a couple touchdowns, and then Alabama kind of storms back in a, 34-24 win, I think is what I called for.
Nice. I like that.
So I think first half we're going, uh-oh, can Washington do this? And then by – as so many times we saw this season, by like mid-third quarter, we go, no, they can't. Can they just cover? And we're just hoping, you know, those on the Washington side are just hoping Browning doesn't force one late into a pick six, and then all of a sudden, Alabama's going back to cover town.
All right. So, I'm looking at Vegas Insider right now as we are recording on Friday morning. We had to pick this at 15.5. A lot of books have this at 13.5 or 14. So if you are of the Robbie mindset that this is, you know, if you think that the 15.5 is good, Robbie, would you still take it at 13.5?
That's a walk away for me.
Yeah.
I don't like getting under 2 touchdowns against Alabama. I don't want to take Alabama at that, because I do think Washington is good. And I think they have the balance that Alabama hasn't seen on both sides of the ball. Washington's, you know, a top 25 or 26 defense on both passing and rushing. They're top 35, 36 team passing and rushing on offense. Like, they're a really good balanced team, and I don't think I'm interested to see how Alabama handles that. I think they will. I think they win. And 2 touchdowns seems like the margin where I'm not going under that against Alabama right now.
Tom, we are extra confident in Alabama since the Vegas spread is 13.5. We picked it at 15.5, and we're both on Alabama. I'm looking at that USC game. I'm looking at the fact that when Myles Gaskin has been shut down and they don't have that balance rolling, Jake Browning, still a sophomore, man. And I think that while this is, like, I think I've got this as maybe like 17-17 at some point in the first or second quarter. Like, Jake Browning hits a couple of scripted plays early to John Ross, a deep ball that makes all the Washington fans really excited, but then they just squeeze the life out of him. I think Alabama plays bad and wins by 20.
I don't know if I would say they win by 20 if they play bad, but for me, it's, you know, I think a natural reaction for a lot of people when you see this game is Alabama is amazing, and they don't know a lot about Washington, so the assumption is just that Washington's going to get killed. And I don't see that being entirely the case, because I think that at a lot of key places on the field, I think Washington matches up really well with Alabama. If you look at Alabama's receivers, I actually give the nod to Washington's secondary. I think Washington has a better secondary than Alabama has, more talent in their secondary
or
than
at least has at receiver. Or at least the passing attack, knowing that Jalen Hurts has not been a phenomenal downfield passer.
And I think that Jake Browning, that Jalen Hurts obviously hasn't beat, you know, with the running, but I think as far as just a quarterback goes, I think Washington has the better quarterback. Where I get concerned and where I lean towards Alabama is you mentioned that USC game and the fact that USC was able to completely stop Myles Gaskin. That's part of it. But it's also just that USC's front seven in that game overwhelmed Washington's offensive line. And that really has been Washington's one area of concern for me watching them this year. Has been an offensive line that it's good, but it's not, you know, it's not at the level that you typically see from teams in these games. That teams get to the top of the rankings and top of the polls like this, you typically see stronger offensive lines than what I believe Washington has. So I remember how much that Washington offensive line struggled against the USC front seven, which is good. But now we're dealing with the Alabama front seven, which is a couple notches, maybe even more than a couple notches, better than what USC has on that side of the ball. So I have legitimate concerns about whether or not that offensive line is going to be able to hold up against Alabama for 60 minutes. And while I'm not sure Jake Browning is going to throw a pick six, although there's a very good chance he's going to, you know, heave something while getting hit or under pressure, I'm more concerned about maybe this, you know, the strip fumble. Yeah, and Alabama's I feel like Alabama's
number 93 rumbling the other way.
Yeah, I feel like the Tide are going to score at least one touchdown on defense in this game. So that's why I took Alabama and I'm laying the points.
Yeah, that's the thing you always – I mean, we've talked about it every time, you know, we picked every Alabama game. And we always talk about it. It's like, will they score that defensive touchdown? And when they cover, they almost always get it, and that's the thing that sways it. I mean, this is Alabama offense that
is it good?
You know, you can hang with. You can hang with this Alabama offense. They run the ball really well, but they don't pass it well. I think they're 70th in passing. They're not especially dynamic with big plays on a consistent basis. You don't really worry about them getting chunk yardage, but when they get up by two scores, they just run it. And we saw against Florida that eventually the floodgates open for that running attack. Their favorite thing to do is they keep Bo Scarborough fresh. You know, he doesn't get a lot of early carries. But in the fourth quarter, that dude's got to average like 8 yards a carry. Turn loose this 250-pound behemoth on these guys with tired legs and tired arms. And they've been getting hit in the mouth. And all of a sudden, you turn loose this big boy who can run, and he's just running through arm tackles, stiff-arming people to the ground. It's really just sad. I mean, that's what happened against Florida we saw in the second half. Like, Scarborough just loose, and they've done it a bunch. I think USC, he had a big run late. And that's the terrifying thing. This is an Alabama offense that you'll stop for three quarters and think you're doing good, but what you don't see is it's the body blows. It's like they're just punching you to the liver all the time, and then all of a sudden – it's that one shot, down you go. And so that's definitely the scary thing. I think Washington can protect against that, but I don't know. It's scary under two touchdowns. At 15.5, I like it decently because I do think this is a two-touchdown game. I really hate it at 13.5. That's an evil line. I think they did that on purpose too. I think they wanted to flex it down where they could get people to come in on Washington when they see money's coming in on Washington. You know, started above, flex it down to 13.5.
Oh, do you think it's going to get up?
Money's still coming in on Washington because they see, oh, the sharps are on Washington. Now, the sharps were on Washington at 15, their playboy. that's the evil book trick.
And to clarify our earlier point, when I said play bad, I just felt like it might be one of those games where because Washington does a good job of hanging with them and the hidden yards and the hidden points come into play. Like, my score is 37-17, and I think I see 21 of those points being either directly from defense or special teams or at least a short field that is set up by a strip sack or something like that. Like, it's one of those games where Washington will probably force some field goals. Alabama will miss some field goals. You know, they'll be able to hang around. And then you said the word right there, Robbie, floodgates. I don't know if Washington's got the depth to be able to hang. And Tom, to your point earlier, Washington's offensive line, like, am I hallucinating here? Or, like, did they even struggle a little bit against Colorado?
Yeah.
They don't have the big beef up there.
That's the one thing that Peterson hasn't really had time to address completely yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad offensive line. You don't win as many games as Washington has with a bad offensive line.
Right.
It's not on the level of a lot of, it's not on the level of Clemson's, Ohio State's, or Alabama's, in my opinion.
Right. Word. Yeah, it's depth is another thing. I mean, like, Alabama's going to force you to rotate guys in at those guard spots, maybe work you in the reserve. When you bring that reserve right tackle in and he looks across at Ryan Anderson.
Oh, I just
– Troubles are brewing.
I feel like with the 30 defensive and offensive analysts that have been poring over Washington game tape for the last 30 days, I feel like there's just like some – devil call where it's like when backup number 55 comes in, they happen to know that he can't happen to take like a strong step right or a strong step left.
He doesn't have a good kick.
Yeah, he just got it
skewed. Well, to a spin move to the inside. Yeah. And they're just going to unleash Tim Williams on him.
Like, oh man.
No, I just
Can you imagine being like a reserve dude that has to go in
for
two snaps and all of a sudden Tim Williams is across from you?
No, I'm good. I'm gonna start paying for my education.
I'm off the field. If anything, I'm just dropping to the ground and hoping he trips over me.
Coach, my knee's acting up again, Coach. I can't go in there. You remember in August when I sprained my knee? It's acting up.
I mean,
I feel like this is the game, like you guys have said. I feel like this is a game that's gonna be close at halftime. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to be like, oh, look at here. We got. And then the second half is just.
Oh, God.
Which has been what, like half of the Alabama games this year? Yeah. Texas A&M, USC, Florida. We're like, oh, it's close. And then all of a sudden it's like a 34. That terrifies me. It does. But I'm banking on Washington. I think they're a good team. I think they're the best offense Alabama has faced, most balanced offense. I do worry that Myles Gaskin is going to have 17 carries for 13 yards, as Alabama's want to do to a
offense. Really good running backs, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what they do. Like, it's terrifying. I think they've given up 0 yards a couple times. I know Florida finished with exactly zero because, they count sack numbers in college football, which is still the dumbest thing.
Just look what they've done to Fournette the last 3 years. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's a good offensive line, too. That's like, they got postage. They got some boys.
They have NFL players on that offensive line blocking for that superstar NFL running back, and he can't do a damn thing. So it's just, if football games were 30 minutes, Alabama would be a lot more vulnerable than they are.
Dude, Texas A&M led.
It's just
sad. Texas A&M led in the third quarter, and I was still watching that game like, nah, they're about to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was like, Alabama's going to cover. Like they went up.
I was holding on for the A&M cover.
No, as soon as that first drive after A&M scored to go up, as soon as Alabama just marched, I was like, "No, they're not even gonna cover."
No, I just
they got those touchdowns with smoke and mirrors. I was like, "It's not gonna happen."
I picked A&M to cover in that game, so even as I knew what was coming,
I was just
cover, boys. You can hang on here. You can get maybe a back door if you need one. We can do it. No, damn
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I think that's why I like to pick against Alabama against the spread. Is it gives me something to be interested in? Like, it gives me some hope because that's what Alabama does. They kill all semblance of hope for you, for the team they're playing, for the announcers. Like, have you ever listened to the announcers in a fourth quarter of an Alabama blowout? They don't know what to do.
Oh, they're pretty bored.
They don't know what to do. It's just sad. They don't get excited anymore when Jonathan Allen comes in and eats the quarterback. At that point, he's done it 3 times, and it's just kind of depressing.
They get to the point where it's like, all right, here's their third string defensive end. He's a 5-star. He was the number one recruit in the country.
that's our man Gary Danielson's favorite joke to crack on air. Like, dudes sprain their ankle, and Gary Danielson's out here like, guess I'll just replace him with another 5-star.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
I know. No. It's a funny quip. It's made me laugh. He does it a lot.
Could you imagine, like, all of a sudden you're, like, the greatest player in the world, and then you go to Alabama and you don't even have a dream of sniffing the field. when you first
for 2 years.
Yeah, you're just like, you're just sitting there like, man, I should have gone to like Rutgers. I'd be amazing.
Nah, but then then you're looking at Tennessee and you're like, oh, good thing I'm at Alabama. Yeah.
That's cold blooded, Chip.
That's Chip Patterson, y'all.
At Chip _ Patterson.
At
hey,
me.
Did you see that one survey from 247 Sports?
Oh, with them talking about the fan bases?
Yeah, where they were asking the top the recruits who the most annoying fan bases were on social media, and Tennessee won.
Balls!
Boys, we're about to watch an interesting 12 months in Knoxville. I don't know what's going to happen, but the headlines are not going to stop.
All I know is that no matter what the headline is, the response will be, well, why isn't Derek Barnett?
all right, listen.
Why is Myles Garrett the number one pick? What about Derek Barnett?
Derek Barnett was awesome. Good,
but it's not just about stats, guys.
Nope. Folks.
Folks. All right, let's head out to the desert. We got Ohio State. We got Clemson. 7 o'clock Eastern time kick. Game of the postseason, in my opinion. Yes. Colossal. I mean, just so much fun. And picking it is
impossible.
Yeah, impossible. Like this this thing is, these two teams are so evenly matched. Even to the point, Tom, I'm gonna let you take lead on this, but like even to the point, in my opinion, where I think that each of their weaknesses, like if you split up all the different pieces and units of Clemson and Ohio State, I would say that Ohio State, when it has struggled at times, obviously they only lost once, but when they have struggled even within wins, it has been from an offensive line that has gotten overwhelmed at times and let them down. And then on the same thing, you've got Clemson, which because of an offensive line that at times has not been able to establish dominance at the point of attack, Wayne Gallman's rushing numbers are down, Deshaun Watson's rushing numbers are down. It definitely plays a part in Deshaun Watson's increased interception total. And not only do they have somewhat questionable offensive lines, but both teams have phenomenal defensive lines. I got no Tom. You take lead on this one. I'll give my pick obviously here in a bit, but man, it's a hard one to break down.
Yeah, and to speak to that, you know, in my pick six column every week, I do the Twitter polls for, you know, the games of the week, and this was obviously one of the games of the week. And now we picked it at 3.5 in our expert picks, and for pick six it was at 3 points. But the results of the poll that I posted for Twitter followers with 1,300 something votes was 50-50.
Wow.
It was like Clemson 50.4, Ohio State 49.6, but it was 50-50. And I think that's a very accurate reflection of trying to pick this game, because it's like you just said, these teams are so similar. Their weaknesses match up, their strengths match up. It's like the truest coin flip as far as picking, not just against the spread, but as far as picking the winner of the game. It's literally a coin flip. There's no wrong answer. For me, I went with Clemson just for the reason that I think you mentioned, yeah, in the end, that's what it boils down to. But it's just, you mentioned Ohio State's offensive line has struggled at times. Ohio State's offensive line struggled quite a bit against Michigan the last we saw them. Of course, Ohio State's offensive line has struggled, and then it's caused me to pick against them the week, and then the next week the offensive line is magnificent. So I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. It's just, I think Clemson has enough on its defensive line where even if Ohio State's offensive line is able to at least keep it in check, I also think Clemson defensively has what it takes to keep JT Barrett in the pocket. And I think that's the one thing you really need to do to beat Ohio State, is if you could force JT Barrett to be more of a passer than the runner who also throws, which he tends to get into. You know, they like to run him a lot. I think Clemson can contain him. And because of that, I think they'll be able to do enough to slow down that offense, because as much talent as Ohio State has, they don't really have that big threat over the top. Or at least if they do, they haven't really utilized it as much this year as we saw a couple years ago when they won the national title game, when, you know, they had Devin Smith and JT Barrett and Cardale Jones would just throw balls over the top of the secondary to
We also have had Jalen Marshall in recent years. Yeah. We've had Michael Thomas. Like, I mean, NFL wide receivers. And
they don't have that guy this year.
Noah Brown is good in the red zone, and that is the only place where I've seen Noah Brown mm-hmm. be targeted often. It's just because he's got a size and a skill advantage for these jump balls.
Yeah, so what Ohio State typically ends up having to do is put together long drives. Whereas before they were able to have, you know, some 5-play, 80-yard touchdown drives because they'd get mm-hmm. the big play. And going against this Clemson defense, the longer you're on the field, the more likely they are to, you know, cause you to screw up or just to wreck your day. So because of that, in the end, I just feel like I have to take Clemson in the points. But on the flip side, you mentioned Deshaun Watson with the turnovers. Wayne Gallman's not having the same kind of year. And I think the reason Watson's rushing numbers are down is I think there was a concerted effort to mold Deshaun more for the NFL, because while NFL teams like mobile quarterbacks, they'd rather have a bunch of tape of a guy standing in the pocket and making mm-hmm. throws. And I don't know if they'll change that up this in this game. I think they should. I don't mm-hmm. know that they will, but it's going to come down this game. It's going to be a turnover. Whichever team, I guarantee you, whichever team has the least amount of turnovers in this game will end up winning, and it's going to be close.
Mm. So what's your prediction?
I took Clemson +3, and my score prediction was Clemson 37, Ohio State 35.
Whee!
Again, coin flip. Oh, I think it's going to be fun. Yeah.
All right, Robbie?
I think I split the baby here. I just took the points out of fear. that's what I do. When I don't like a line, I just take points. This is such a close – oh, my goodness. I'm going to say, 31-30. Like, just Ohio State, 31-30. Like, just super close, super fun. You know, I think this one comes down to it's going to be, some special teams in there. Well, field position. Can somebody get a big punt return? You know, Ohio State's got some guys back there that can move. This is, you know, Tom explained it a lot. I mean, you worry about when Deshaun Watson, if he throws interceptions, it doesn't matter. You know, like if we don't get great Deshaun, but the one thing I've seen is when Deshaun Watson gets put in a really big game, he shows up. We've seen this for the last 2 years. When he plays Florida State, Louisville, Alabama last year, Oklahoma last year, I mean, he shows up and he plays really well. His lapses tend to be, you know, a Pittsburgh, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, no doubt, game,
you know, it's stuff like that. And so, NC State, you know, like when he maybe doesn't have all of his focus, but I think his focus will be that. I think we get a good Deshaun Watson performance. But I think Ohio State is going to be able to force one turnover off of him. And nobody's better at taking an interception back than Ohio State for six. I think they have 7 pick sixes this season.
Well, there is one team that's better. But yes, they are the second best. It's Alabama number 1 with 14 non-offensive touchdowns. Ohio State number 2 in the country with 7 non-offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, 7 of Ohio State's, I think, 12 interceptions have been pick sixes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like all those picks. I think Alabama's got a bunch of
fumble returns and
punt special returns, teams. Yeah. I think they have 5 or 6. I think it's 5 pick sixes for Alabama. So
Malik Hooker, Gerrion Conley, Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, the entire secondary is loaded with athletic talent.
They turn into a punt returner. And they know what they're doing. They run down the numbers and they get blockers through the numbers and they do a really good job. I think there's one of those. I think there's a non-offensive touchdown for Ohio State somewhere in here. And I think Samuel has a big play. I think we finally see it. I think we finally get it. We've been calling for it. We want it.
One thing I think is very much in Ohio State's favor. Like you mentioned, Deshaun's played, you know, big and big games, and he had the 3 interceptions and the loss to Pitt, which was a 1-point loss. So those kind of hung big, and I think 2 of them were red zone interceptions.
Oh yeah, one of them straight up in the end zone.
Yeah, but he also had two interceptions against Florida State, and he threw three interceptions against Louisville. He's turning the ball over in these big games. It's just his team has been able to overcome them and win. And in the fourth quarter, when he's needed to make a huge play because he's got his team in a bad position because of those turnovers, he's made it. So that's a huge concern for me. That's why I mentioned the turnovers in my pick, because I feel like if Deshaun, like you said, if he gets picked by Ohio State, that's bad, because 60% of the time they take that thing to the house.
I think this game starts slow. I think both these coaches are more than happy to come out tight, play some field position, see if those offensive lines can establish some dominance at the point of attack. And when they realize they can't, it's going to be ball in the hands of those two quarterbacks. And
I think,
damn, it's going to be fun.
I definitely think Ohio State does that. I don't think Clemson should.
You don't think you don't think they will?
If I'm Clemson, I'm coming out looking for a big play to Mike Williams or Deion Kane right on that first series.
Mike Williams and Deion Kane, by the way, both not in the playoff last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm looking to get a big play to one of them over the top right away.
God, that would be so much. My score prediction is 28-27. I think it's tight. And I think that this game is won not by Deshaun Watson on the field. I think this game is won by Clemson's defensive line, where like Ohio State is marching for the game-winning field goal or touchdown, and a third and long just goes horribly for our friend JT Barrett.
Mm.
See, I just think that Ohio State's secondary is very good, but it's vulnerable over the top, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't playing in the Big Ten this year, they haven't faced a ton of teams capable of beating them over the top. But I think Clemson is that one team, and I think Dabo and company would be foolish not to try.
Mm. I think this comes down to which team gets those playmakers the ball. You know, we talk about the quarterbacks. I think it's which team, you know, are you going to get Mike Williams the ball over the top? Are going to get Curtis Samuel the football in space a bunch? Ohio State, please, more than 12 touches. I'm begging you.
It's a crazy philosophy that in your big games you want the ball to be in your best player's hands.
But I do think they get him the football. I think they scheme it up. Herb has it ready to roll. And I think this hangs on the turnover and special teams play, and I give that edge ever so slightly to Ohio State. But I think, like you said, I think this is the best game we see all season, and then the national championship will not be able to live up to Fiesta.
Yeah, if this game is not very entertaining, I will be surprised. It'll be one of the biggest surprises of the year to me if this game isn't really fun.
All right. Also, once we get past the semifinal, we've got a couple more games. Oklahoma favored by 3 against Auburn. I picked Oklahoma here, and I'm working on my preview right now, and I'm backtracking.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, Oklahoma has actually played everyone. Like, I remember the Sugar Bowl, of course. I mean, it was funny. Everyone was laughing, and, Trevor Knight was out here winning over Katy Perry's heart, But Oklahoma has kind of gotten pasted in some bowl games recently. And Auburn, I don't know, man. What are we thinking about this? We've got it at Oklahoma 4.5. The line's dropped to 3 out in Vegas.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I took Oklahoma. I think the reason I took Oklahoma and the one thing I'm holding on to is, Baker's coming back. A lot of these guys are coming back. I think they want to build some momentum into 2017 and kind of finish this season off and get the chatter going again about national championship expectations down in Norman. This isn't a game where Baker's going to be checked out thinking about NFL like some quarterbacks do in their last game. You know, let's not get myself hurt or anything like that. He knows he's coming back. So I don't know. The other thing is, Oklahoma's defense, can they stop the run? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't really trust it. I think you're in a shootout here. The concern is that Oklahoma's offensive line doesn't hold up and give Baker enough time. Carl Lawson, the boys, Montrevious, get after him. But I think Oklahoma's the more talented team overall here. The question is, will they just get schemed up by Guster? in that run game, and it won't matter because Auburn will just run it down their throat.
I'm not positive.
I just don't trust Auburn's quarterback situation, I think, as much as anything.
I'm not positive Oklahoma's the more talented team. I think that
in certain spots, I mean, the defensive line, I think, is definitely Auburn.
Like Oklahoma has flashes, people, like they've got certain people that certainly are very important. But man, dude, and there's been a lot of bad juju around Norman.
Ever since
the Heisman ceremony. And Tom, what do you like here about the Tigers?
Just for me, there's a couple things, really. It's that Oklahoma's offense and Baker Mayfield and Dede Westbrook have put up fantastic numbers. It's just they haven't had to face a defense like this one yet since earlier in the year when they played Ohio State, and things didn't go nearly as well in that game. Then also, like you said, just the juju around the team right now with the mix and video stuff, and then the Westbrook stuff that came out after the Heisman, and then also just the fact that Mayfield and Westbrook were both, you know, on that Heisman rubber chicken circuit there for a while, and as we've seen in bowl games, a lot of times Heisman finalists have rough bowl games because they miss out on prep time because they're doing all the Heisman stuff. So that's why I'm going with Auburn plus the points. Also, it's just, you know, the game's in New Orleans, which is like another home field for the SEC.
Yeah, I think – I don't know if I'm going to switch it, but I'll just let the sweet listeners know.
I don't like it.
I would take Auburn. I would take Auburn in anything above a field goal.
The fact that I've taken Auburn means you should probably be good with your Oklahoma pick. Again, 8-18, folks.
All right.
If you're just fading me this bowl season, you are having a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
Are you still – does that mean you're also feeling shaky about your Rose Bowl USC to cover 7 and a hook?
Yeah, the hook is terrifying. But it's just
– I mean, that's why I took it. I just saw the hook and I was like, yes. Yeah.
Yep. Well, the hook is terrifying. It's just I think that overall USC is a bit more talented than Penn State.
Yes.
Agreed.
No doubt. But this Penn State team's weird. They make you play weird, too. You know?
They do.
They bring you down to their level, and I don't mean that in a bad way for Penn State, but they muck it up. They can kind of tempt you into playing that style, and that's not the style USC football wants to be playing.
What's going to happen is USC will build a 3-score lead and going into halftime, and then I'll just have to hold on for dear life as the second half Nittany Lions come out.
Dude,
and
second half Penn State would have made the playoff.
Oh, can you
imagine a game, just changing the topic a little bit, between Penn State and Arkansas?
It would have played out like the Boat Bowl did.
Arkansas is up 31-0 at the half and loses by 20.
I would love to see that game. Just the way that those two teams play each half would be amazing.
Anyone interested at all in Florida, Iowa?
Oh, baby, you know I am.
Yeah, that's Robbie's Valhalla right there.
I wrote the preview of my players to watch are the two punters, baby.
God.
There will be a combined 15 punts in this game. It's going to be a beauty. 13-10 tops.
Yeah, all I need to say to explain my pick of taking Iowa with the points is that the punters are going to be that important, so I'll take every single point I can get.
Give me all the points you can hand me. Florida's offense is bad. Iowa's offense is bad. It's going to be fun. These teams are, I think they're both bottom 20 in the nation in first downs. So you want to talk about punters being out there.
Dog.
Neither team averages 20 first downs a game. It's 16.9 for Iowa and like 18.7 for Florida.
What is the main object?
Out the right legs of Ron Calusi and Johnny Townsend.
When you are given the ball to start a possession, your most basic objective is to gain 10 yards, and these are two of the 20 worst teams at your main objective on offense.
Yeah, buddy! It's going to be great. The one like redeeming factor to this is like Antonio Callaway versus Desmond King could be kind of fun, but the problem is it won't matter because Appleby can't get the ball to him.
Yeah.
But like, just like, give me a simulcam on that battle, just watching them, and like, I'll pretend that Callaway, when he beats King, gets the football on time and on target.
Oh, that's a would-be touchdown! You get 3.5 points for that.
That's a shoulda. Put the point on the board.
All right, one more, real quick: Western Michigan, Wisconsin. I got to take Western Michigan with the hook here, and I got to do it because PJ Fleck gave an inspirational message about Princess Diana. So you know that he's really got the boys fired up with that.
Nothing
sports
fires
psychology.
Up a bunch of 20-year-olds like talking about Princess Di.
Well, it works because remember he's got the whole like you are a diamond. You know, yeah. he pulls the thing out of the coal. Yeah. I got it. Tom, you like Maybe. Wisconsin.
Is he singing Rihanna when he does it?
Shine bright.
Is he telling
them
that they're all diamonds, like diamonds in the sky?
I hope so.
I would like to see that video. I took Wisconsin just because, sorry, but the boat stops here. The Wisconsin defense. Western Michigan hasn't seen a damn thing like it or even close to it this year. And that was, you know, they've got a great quarterback in Terrell. They've got a really good running back in Jarvion Franklin. And they've got an outstanding future NFL receiver in Corey Davis. But there's no way in hell that Western Michigan offensive line holds up against that Wisconsin defense.
No, but all it's going to take is like two big plays.
No.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, the thing is, like, at 7.5 is Wisconsin team. I don't know.
Just looking at how this Wisconsin team has played against Ohio State, how it's
oh yeah, no, they're really good, but they also play that way against everybody. That's the thing. It's like they play close games against. It doesn't matter who you put in front of Wisconsin; they'll play close against anyone. Like they play up and down to the competition, especially the offense. The defense is great against everybody.
I think there are other teams in Power Six games that Western Michigan could have had a good time with. I feel like this was an absolutely terrible matchup for them.
Probably. All right, guys, we will be back to break down the title game once we have our national championship participants. Tom Fornelli at Tom Fornelli, Robbie Calland at R. Calland. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Best and worst of luck, depending on whether or not we agree on these expert picks.
Later, guys.
Thank you.